This was after you had become involved with women?
After. I wasn't really all in that involved in them, all
okay.
right?
And we're still talking, what, 1958?
Yeah, the 1950s.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe 56.
Okay.
57. So I left the state because of him. And then when I came back, she was still in with her, the gay kids, and, you know, here and there with the straights or whoever her choosing is of that moment.
This is your sister?
Yeah. So we got an apartment on the west side. And that's when I was going down to, I was going with the owner of the stage door, Nat.
Uh-huh, okay.
And one day there's a knock on the door, and there's about 10 butches that piled in. So I thought, what the hell are they doing here?
At your apartment?
Yeah, my sister's in my apartment.
Yeah, this is a sister who's femme?
And she's butch, whatever. She's butch.
Okay. Let me turn the, I'm going to put the pause on to find out which sister, because I don't want her name on the tape. Okay.
So about 10 butches pile in. So I look, and I says, I called her in the bedroom. I said, what are they all doing here? She says, they're here to see you. I said, they're not here to see me. I said, I'm leaving. Keep them company. I'm getting the hell out of here. They're not here to see me. She says, don't you leave, don't you leave. I'll never forget that day. But what are they all coming here, you know, all these girls dressed like guys? You know, that sort of sets you back a little bit, gives you sort of a little scare.
When did you start to relax with that?
I don't know exactly when I did. I don't know. It was hanging around the stage door, other than my first time with Buff.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was a come-go thing. You know, I was only with her that one night.
Yeah.
And that ended that.
So you didn't feel like you were gay after that one
no,
experience?
No. In fact, I couldn't see where the attraction was or anything.
Wasn't real exciting?
No. Mm-hmm. Because to really be honest, I thought, to be honest with you, well, man does the same thing.
Uh-huh.
You know, man will do the same thing. But it's more than just that. It's the softness in that, you know, and where you don't feel like you've got that iron hand over you or something. Where with a marriage truly, I feel as though it's like a job. I do.
Uh-huh. But a relationship with another woman isn't like it?
No. Not to me.
Uh-huh.
I don't feel that, I don't know what you'd call it. What would you call it? I don't know.
But you still felt they were stronger or more what?
That a man was more stronger?
No, that a
woman?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, a woman, I don't know. It's just, to me, I think maybe it became exciting. It's different, you know, and new curiosity. You know, but like they say, once you've been with a woman, you always go back to a woman.
You believe that?
It's true.
It's absolutely true.
Yes, because I got married, and I was happily married, and all of a sudden something with the snag came along, and then divorced, and I got remarried, and then I got back involved with Andy shortly after that. It seemed like that it just wasn't ready yet, you know, because I had been over to see her, like, and she was the last one. When I got married, I was away for about 14 years, and I started meeting some of the gay kids, and I kept Andy as the last one, because she was my weak point. So then I seen her, and then a few times I seen her, and there was still nothing. And then I wasn't there. I was still married to my husband. Then in 83, she called me up, which I had seen her in between there.
Uh-huh.
And then in 83, it was, I guess that the timing was right.
Mm-hmm.
It's all what you call timing.
And all that old stuff
just went.
Came together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually like we haven't even been apart.
That's
really
wonderful.
We argue like hell, but no love runs smooth, right?
When you were first with her, the first time, it was what year?
Oh, that was in the late 50s.
Were you in the office?
Had to be in the late 50s. I cared for her. I think I enjoy the gay life more now that I'm older than I did when I was younger, because when I was younger, you really don't know if you want to get married, settle down, or what you really want. You're very unsure at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas of a butch usually is butch, and they usually stay butch, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't ever see them getting married. Where with femmes, they'll be in the gay life for a few years or whatever, especially if they're young. You can't really blame them. And then they decide to get married and have children, some of them. Or they marry for security.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what they'll look for in a man, is security.
So you think that's been a real important issue for our project about interviewing people. We've had a heck of a time trying to find femmes. And people have said to us they either went butch or went straight.
Yeah. The biggest percentage, I would say, they go straight. As far as femmes, you're thinking femme. They usually go straight.
Why?
Not so much as for the love. Maybe if they find someone they like or something, then they'll go, and they do it for security reasons. It's secure.
Mm-hmm. Why do femmes leave gay life and not butches? Why don't butches leave?
I think with butches, I think this is something that overpowers them at a very young age. As far as being more masculine than more girlish. Acting more tomboyish than more girlish, that's what I'm trying to say. And I don't really think this ever really grows out of them. And when they start growing up and they become in their early teens and they start saying, she looks good, he doesn't look good, but she looks good, you know? And they start recognizing their problem. And I think with a butch, so-called butch, I don't think they could actually really take the domineering husband, or the husband that wants to be the husband. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Where a femme is really adjusted to it. They're girl, and I think you find that it's very easy for them to adjust to a marriage, more so than a butchy girl, because they've played the lead role all their life, what they've had of their gay life, and then for them to step into a marriage and have a man rule them, it'd probably be imprints in the wall. It would be the man's imprint, not theirs.
It's a wonderful image. You're probably right.
It's the truth.
You said that you think that butches recognize their, what, masculinity or something when they're young?
Mm-hmm.
When you were young, did you have any feelings about girls that were different?
No, like I said, I have an older sister that's been in the gay life all her life, which is butch. And I used to look at her and say, now what do girls do together? Why is she like women, you know? What do they do together, you know?
How old were you when you thought that?
Oh, I was about, well, I was involved, you know, it was within my family, you know.
Uh-huh.
I was 6-7 years old.
When you thought about
what seeing things,
uh-huh,
and picking up that she acted more like a man than a woman, you know, and she just didn't act right. You know, she was always had jeans on or a t-shirt on, you know, she never had, she never carried a purse or wore makeup or stuff like that, you know. And that's why I don't think that you would ever see a true butch getting involved with a marriage with a man. No way.
When you got into gay life and started hanging around and having lovers, did you know other femmes? Did you get to know other femmes then?
Oh yeah, I knew all of them. I knew a lot of femmes.
Uh-huh. What were they close friends?
Yeah, some of them were, and then again, some weren't. Some would be more or less distant. I think due to the fact of maybe afraid of losing their butch or whatever the case may be, you know?
Uh-huh. Did you have any close friends that were femme?
Did I? Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
So you had girlfriends who were also gay?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What did you do together?
We used to drink together. Mm-hmm. And we'd talk, this and that, you know.
Did you ever
we'd
go
hang
out?
Hang around together all the time. We always hung together. And we had good times together.
Did you have like a group of girlfriends that were all
Yeah,
there?
There was like a certain clique.
Uh-huh.
And then there was other gay kids. They would not be in the clique.
Uh-huh.
Both femme and butch. They would say, hi, how are you? But it's just like anything else. You have your immediate friends.
Yeah.
There's ones you're closer to, and then there's other ones that you're more distant. And I left the scene for 14, 15 years and come back, and I'm pretty well still liked.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
So, and then there's others that, I don't know if it's an age that's getting them or what, but I don't know where they've got other interests or whatever, but you don't see them around in the gay bars or that. You might see some butches, but the femmes you don't usually see.
Are they still gay?
Some of them, I think there's a few that are, but then again, like I say, there's others that aren't.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't seen them, but the ones, the butches and this and that that I, remember me or so. Hi, how are you? Hi, how are you? You know?
Right.
And you get a nice warm reception.
Sure. I'm kind of interested in what a kind of a friendship circle of gay, of femmes was like.
Well, if you went into the bar, you know, they'd come up and say, hi, how are you, this or that. It's just like anything else. They hung pretty much to their butches, you know. And then there's a few femmes that didn't have any particular butch, you know, played the scene.
Uh-huh.
And she had no, they had no favorite one or no special butch.
Right.
You know, and those were the more friendly ones. The one that was really involved with, involved and possibly afraid of losing her butch, she would be more or less on the colder side. Afraid of competition or, you know, jealousy streak
mm-hmm.
or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm. What would happen if a femme and a butch broke up? Would the femme become friendly again?
It all depends. If you weren't the one that was trying to make out with her butch, then she'd be all right with you.
Uh-huh.
But they're always on guard. I really didn't care. You know, I'd have a good time. I'd always walk mm-hmm. and say, hi, how are you, or whatever.
Did you have a best girlfriend or something at that time was a femme?
Yeah, her name was, there was this one, her name was Eleanor. She was a black girl. And, we'd always go over to her apartment where she was like, mother hen in a sense. She was a little older than us. And, she had a, a white girl for a butch, which treated her like hell.
Who was Eleanor's butch?
Mary.
Good. All right. I just want to keep those names necessarily on the tape, but I want to figure out what the friendship patterns sort of look like.
Yeah, so like we'd always go over to Eleanor's. We were always hanging around Eleanor's, or, you know, we'd always get together and go out to the bar together and that, you know. Because she was a very loose type, and she was just out for a good time. And if you had an open mind about it, if you weren't so tight-knitted about, you know, someone taking your butch away from you or something, you'd go out and have a good time. I can't think of all their names. One girl was named, or this other one's name was Mary, Femme. And we were good friends. And also this girl, Carol, that died. She was a little butch. But she was loose. She was like on her own, you know?
Yeah.
And this Beverly, which now, she went straight, and now she's down in Cleveland, and she's in the gay life.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you if you knew a couple other people, so I'm going to turn the tape off for a second. Yes. Again. You knew the women I just mentioned.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Were you friends with them?
The one girl, yes, I was friends with everyone. Anne was more or less on the way out when I started coming around. Noreen was then with the one butch. I can't say that.
Yeah, well, we've got her in an interview also. So
with Randy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Randy. So I didn't remember Anne with Randy, but she was a Lulu.
A Lulu? What is a Lulu?
She was really out of it, I guess, from her, some of her things and that. But, yeah, all of those kids. It would be nice to have a nice reunion.
We've thought about that.
That would be really neat.
A lot of those women are straight now, though.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to get to.
Yeah. Noreen's straight. Little feet's out of state.
Uh-huh.
And, Randy's involved.
Oh, yeah, I just saw her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that would be nice. No, we had some good times back then. Mm-hmm. Too bad those times weren't today. With the openness and that, you know.
Well, probably the kind of times you had then were partly due to the kind of life you had to live then. You had to make your good times.
Mm-hmm.
So you worked real hard making.
Yeah, we had some good times together.
So you did have a couple of femmes that you felt like comfortable with in your friends.
Oh, yeah. Anne was one. Noreen and that, they were all right, but they weren't really. Those are two that I'm more or less speaking of that were afraid of losing their butches or whatever.
I see. So those are people that were involved in a lot of the jealousies that went on.
Yeah, but like Mother Hubbard and Eleanor, and we'd all go out drinking, and we'd have one hell of a time. Then afterwards, we'd go over to speakeasies, and we'd have a ball. We always had a good time.
Mm-hmm. Was the crowd from the time you got into it mixed, racially mixed?
We all used to pretty much hang out in the same bars, as far as the gay bars.
Uh-huh.
Both the blacks and the whites went to the gay bars, the same gay bars. They didn't like have their own gay bar, and then we have ours.
Uh-huh.
They would more or less, and then if we wanted to hang in our straight bars, then we would hang in our straight bars. What was white was white.
I see.
And what was black, as far as straight bars.
You didn't ever hang out in black straight bars? Only
we've been there, but we've gone there. We would be the white kids. White people would be more accepted in a black bar than a black person would be in a white bar.
Do you remember any of the black bars you used to go to?
We used to go to the 157 Club on William for barbecued ribs. We were always heading over there.
Uh-huh.
They made such delicious ribs, and today, to think that we went there, back then, you know,
uh-huh.
we were really brave.
Well, times were different
then. You know? But the black bears, I can't remember them. There was a couple on Michigan that
did
we...
Did you go to Little Harlem?
Yeah, we've gone to the Little Harlem. And there's another one we went to, too. Can't think the name of it. Near Broadway. It's closed. We went to Mandy's and William.
Uh-huh.
Andy and I and other kids, I can't think of who it was right now, but we used to go over there. We'd go to Mandy's for a drink. And
do you ever remember any racial tensions in the bars?
If blacks came into the white bars, yes, there was.
Into the white gay bars?
No. Black gay kids and white gay kids, when they mingled, they always came into the, was like the white gay bars.
Okay.
All right? It was always white owners.
Uh-huh.
Into the gay bars. And the black kids would come over, too. The black gay kids would come in. But,
how were they treated?
Oh, very well, because they're all gay. They didn't. They weren't looked up on, well, you're black and this is white.
Were there any fights ever over race?
I think one time there was a fight between the black gays and the white gays.
Do you remember the bar?
I don't really remember the bar, but I know it was going to be a tale, a hell of a taboo. But other than that, I think we all got along pretty well.
Mm-hmm. I think that people have mentioned some fighting, interracial type fighting at Bingo's and the Carousel.
Possibly there, yeah, yes, I think that's true. It's before my time. Yeah.
Well, the Carousel,
Bingo's,
is the late 50s.
But I didn't go there. That was just before I came out.
Uh-huh.
Like the Mardi Gras.
Yeah. So the community that you remember didn't have too much racial tension.
Uh-uh.
One of the things that we were told about is that white butches were really nervous that black butches would take their girls away, because black butches had a reputation for being real, you know, sexy and whatever.
I don't know. I don't know if that really holds true. I think maybe they were just tense. Period. Thinking that some other butcher take their girl.
Oh, you don't
some
think that anything to do with race. Uh-huh.
I really don't think. As far as I'm concerned, I didn't.
Uh-huh. That's interesting. Do you remember bar fights? Other kinds of bar fights?
Oh, there was always bar fights.
What were they like?
Oh, terrible.
Who would start?
It was always.
How would they get started?
If you were like into a straight bar, especially with the butches, you know, and they were no one, they had strength, there was no one to mess with. Some guy would start a fight with them or call them queer or lesbian or whatever. And they, too bad for the guy, you know, he better be strong. And, you know, things like that. Or if some guy was trying to make you and seeing you talking to a butch. You know, they'd make little comments, what are you doing that, Leslie? And, you know, things like that. And sometimes you had to deny it, especially if you were trying to get money out of them to buy a drink.
Uh-huh. You'd have to pretend you weren't with the butch.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I don't know them. And then after, you know, well, would you buy him a drink? You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Or what's wrong with them, you know?
Uh-huh.
But you still have your thing today. But not as much as it was. I mean, there's still that, there's still a separation.
Of?
You know, they're more accepted. They're not 100% accepted.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can walk down the street now, you know, and they don't take in passion, then look around and say, hey, did you know that's a girl? Or shit like that, you know?
Yeah.
They seem to be more open-minded today. Like in a restaurant, if you can go into a restaurant now and say, like Andy and I, we can sit, and the waiter or the waitress, whichever it may be, come and say, yes, ladies.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I really don't think Andy dresses any different today than she did years ago. But years ago, yes, sir. So it just goes to show you that they're more knowledgeable of it. You know, it's more out in the open. It's not so hush-hush.
Mm-hmm.
And gay bars today can be open and open. You know, they're not just open for a year or two and then you have to be worried about getting shut down with a cigarette.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They don't have to. Is that all you got left?
Sorry, I got more.
I got to pack out my thing. But
that's all right. Here.
They don't have to. Which I was very surprised myself when I came back into the, you know, the gay bars. A gay bar now. In one spot can be open. And they don't have to worry about the law walking in. The proprietors don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
Wondering if they're going to get shut down or have that fear, you know. So there it goes to show you that it's more accepted. Because
mm-hmm.
years back then, a bar would be open, what, a year or two? A year before you know it, they'd be getting shut down or whatever. You know, they just didn't have a life of their own.
Mm-hmm.
Their own place that they could call theirs.
Right.
You know?
One thing that you just mentioned that was kind of interesting, and we've had Butch's talk about this, and that is getting straight guys to buy you drinks or give you money or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And a number of the Butches that we've interviewed have talked about that, you know, it was hard to get jobs.
For the way they dressed, right?
Yeah. So they would go out and straight guys would buy them drinks and they would drink for free and sometimes
mm-hmm.
they'd get money. And
or the femmes would more or less hustle the guys.
How did that work?
Very easily. If the guy thought he was taking you to bed,
mm-hmm.
you know, you'd sit there and play up to the guy and get him to buy the drinks, you know.
For yourself
and
your butch.
And the butch.
Uh-huh.
Not all guys would do that.
Yeah.
You know. And then a lot of times, I think the straight men that you'd hustle for the drinks, their curiosity was aroused. You know, now why on the butch, not on the femme,
mm-hmm.
but they were more interested in the butchy girl than in the femme girl, because maybe in their mind they felt. Maybe this girl's, I'll show, just for her dressing and acting like a guy, well, maybe her problem is and she hasn't had a good lay or whatever you want to call it, you know? So a lot of times you'd find that a man would be more attracted to a butchy type of a girl than he would with a femmy girl.
How did you feel when that would happen?
Nothing. Let them get the drinks. You know? Let them get the drinks
uh-huh.
for a change.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. How would the butches react to that?
Nothing. And if the guy tried to get too, you know, pushy as far as, you know, as far as a guy's the ego, and in his mind thinking, well, Jesus, I bought you a few drinks, aren't you? Aren't I going to get anything? You know, then the butchy girl would more or less get a little on the nasty side with him.
Mm-hmm. We know that there were women in the community, and we also know, not only in the community that we're talking about, but from way back, from the 1800s,
mm-hmm.
that far back, that there were gay women who went with men for money. That we have a very common history
mm-hmm.
with women who were paid for sex.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the things that we need to discover is what was common to us when
mm-hmm.
women who went to bed with men for money and women who were lesbians and did that for money to survive.
To survive and for their bread and butter, right?
Mm-hmm. And those bars that had a lot of straight men in them were, you know,
mm-hmm.
gave ample opportunity for that kind of thing to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk something, you know, a little about that and how that worked, things that you saw?
Oh, yeah. Very easily, if you wanted to survive, and if you didn't want to work, you didn't want to get up in the morning and go to work, because maybe you're, night before drinking too much or an everyday habit of drinking, and going down to the bars to hustle, which we did, it was your bread and butter, you know. And some men wouldn't understand the fact of a butch standing next to you, or the fact of you even being involved with one. You know, so your butch, more or less, on times like that, would stay in the background, you know?
Mm-hmm. So sometimes, just for survival, you had to go with men.
Right.
For money. And sometimes you would actually have to sleep with them.
No, you never had to sleep with them.
You never had to sleep.
Just went to bed with them.
Well, I don't mean stay overnight.
Oh.
I mean, you had to have sex with them.
Yeah.
Okay. What was that? How did that affect your relationships with the women that you were with?
Nothing. It didn't really, because they had to accept it. You know, that was a thing that you wouldn't even look at or discuss. You know, afterwards you wouldn't talk about it. You know, and you just go on and live your normal life.
Uh huh. Did it ever affect your sex life with your lover?
No.
It never changed anything.
Uh-uh.
It's amazing. It's really amazing.
Uh-huh.
Was that hard?
No, because it was like it was a thing that had to be done. You didn't think of it as the part of the sex, whether you enjoyed it with a man or that. You went there for the money.
It was a job.
It was like a job, and that's all you went there for.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Were there guys that were regulars? I came around?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Always came around. And then, like, again, it depends on the type of guy. A lot of guys knew all the gay kids, you know, both butch and femme. And, you know, would buy both a drink, but still would meet the femme around the corner, you know,
uh-huh.
to go to a hotel with her. And it was never discussed afterwards, you know. What went on in the room, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, it was I think they were very, very matured in that respect. Even though we were young, you still had a great understanding.
Of the difference.
Of the difference,
separation.
The separation in that. Oh. Whereas today, depending on the butch, I don't think a few of them would tolerate that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be right back. Your butches did not go to bed.
None?
There's a few. There's a couple. But, they were very private on that, very discreet on it. I mean, I know one or two. I know one. I mean, when the belly started getting bigger.
Yeah.
All right.
Then everybody gets to know. Right.
But other than that, they were not the ones to really do that.
But did a lot of femmes do that at the time in those bars?
Let's say some would be very, very, very private about it, you know. Now, like, I had a straight girlfriend which I hung around, and there was times when I did my separation bit between the gays and then her being with her, because,
mm-hmm.
strictly a hustler, you know. And then when you make your money, then you come back. You go back where you want to be, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was that type of a thing. Whereas some that, maybe I could count on my one hand as far as the ones that, as far as the butches that would really be involved with them, you know,
mm-hmm.
sexually,
mm-hmm.
you know. Other than that, no. They didn't. It was, you know.
Did you start working like that before you got involved in gay life?
Oh, yeah.
About how old were you?
Oh, I was about, I think, 18. Everything happened when I was 18. You could hit the bars when you were 18.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 18, 80,
19. Were you scared?
Oh, very first time, yes. I didn't know what to do.
Okay.
That's my plan, okay. But, and then, like, one type of life, I think, usually leads into a different type of life, you know. Maybe if you're straight and you're in that type of life, then eventually, under my circumstances, and I wound up with a gay life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Which I had very pleasurable times, you know. And then, like I said, I went and got married. And I came back into it.
Mm-hmm.
Which I have no regrets.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I don't know, if you want to do something, yeah, all right. Other than where they usually work, they're exhausted, and, you know, it's like a 9-to-5 job. You know, get up in the morning, make sure this is done, that's done, the supper's on, and then they usually conk out and go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually the routine.
This is when you were, when
that's
you were
of a marriage.
Yeah, when you're married. Mm-hmm. But with women,
they seem to have more get up and go and
more energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think possibly that's the whole thing, you know.
Yeah. When you were working, and I'm using the word working,
mm-hmm,
for, you know, same guys,
right,
at the time. And you knew other femmes who were doing the same thing. Did you ever talk about it with each other?
No, we more or less kept, we would have respect for one another as far as the genders are concerned. Unless this one just, you know, if this one was seeing Mary, or, you know, or this one was seeing Carol, you'd have certain ones, favorite ones, not favorite ones, but certain ones that seemed to like you more,
mm-hmm,
you know, and if the other one had respect for you, no, they wouldn't touch that one. And a lot of times the John wouldn't want any other girl but you.
Mm-hmm.
Say hi. You want to say hi?
Did you ever, with the other women who were also doing this, did you ever, like, warn each other about guys that weren't,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Oh, yeah, we'd warn one another if we thought one was what you'd call the fuzz, the cops.
Uh-huh.
And, the bars were really packed back then. The bars used to be packed.
Yeah. What about warning each other about guys that might do weird things?
We also did that.
You would tell each other?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. We were very faithful to one another like that.
So there really was a sisterhood.
Yeah.
Of a sort among,
I would say,
women.
Yes. Yes, there was. And, like you say, if they act freaky, or if they want to try to get their money back, which, knock on wood, I never had that problem, if they could, you know, get a little rough with their fist or whatever,
uh-huh,
I never had that problem, thank God,
uh-huh,
or weirdos. I went with one, which he was a weirdo, but he never expected anything out of me.
What do you mean by a weirdo?
Well, he used to like to have you, which back then you're young, you don't understand, you know, or you're not aware of it, but he used to like to have you burn his body with cigarettes,
uh-huh,
and maybe beat him with a belt and all that, you know. Now I would do it. Back then, you know, you're young, and there was others that would do it,
uh-huh,
but he never asked me to participate in stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And he used to pay good. He used to pay $50.
Uh-huh. For those times, that was a lot of money.
You better believe it was.
Right. Now that's kind of low to average. Then it was a ton of money.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you'd have your guys that would want two girls, see two girls.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was involved in that once or twice.
Mm-hmm.
Because that, to me, that's nothing, you know.
We're,
and you'd fake it.
With another girl who was
yeah.
also drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know, were you friends with each other, you and the other girl?
Oh, yeah, very much so.
Uh-huh.
We were buddies, you know.
Yeah. So you put on this act.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Would you talk about it afterwards, after you left him?
We'd laugh about it.
Uh-huh.
You know. Then we'd go back to the bar and get our drink.
That's amazing. It really is. It's amazing. They could really support each other, you know. You could
mm-hmm.
really stand by each other.
Yeah, we really, really did. We really stuck close.
Mm-hmm. What did you think of men when you were doing that kind of thing?
What did we think of them?
Uh-huh.
The only thing we wanted was their money so we could drink,
uh-huh.
you know, and pay our rent. We didn't ever think of them as lovers. Like it was mentioned, work. It was a thing, and you wouldn't even think of the part of being sexually involved.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't even cross your mind, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you are. You don't think of it as, oh, gee, you know, I could go for him, or I like him, or this. The two were separated. He was a John, and that's all he was.
Mm-hmm. How long a period did you do this? For how long?
From 18 to 24.
Mm-hmm. Did it just sort of come to a halt? Or?
Yeah. Everything came to a halt when I decided to get married, in which my husband was very well aware of it. You know, he was very knowledgeable of it.
Did
so
you meet him through this?
I met him at a bar, but not through as a John. You know, he knew what I was into.
Uh-huh.
And so he happened to fall. We happened to fall for one another.
Mm-hmm.
And I was engaged to him for 4 years, and we got married.
Mm-hmm.
Lived with him for 10, as man and wife.
Yeah. When you were, fell in love with him, was it different from falling in love with the butches you'd been in love with?
Very much so. At that point, it was, this is what life is about. You've been on a roller coaster, you know, all these years. Now you're settling down to real life.
So
a
being
different
in gay
type
life
of,
wasn't real life then,
well,
for you?
Well, no, it was like a finalizing it, life in itself. Wanting to settle down, get a home, and, you know, all these things, which I did. But then it became a bore. Well, I kept very active all through my marriage. I was very active. I worked on my marriage.
Doing what?
I had a beauty salon. I worked piecework. And then I ended up in real estate, which kept me on the go.
Uh-huh.
And I got really involved with my work. And my work, my home, wasn't a home, really. It was a home, but I had to always be out in the light, you know, with the public. I've always worked with the public since I was 16,
uh-huh.
you know.
Really, really.
Till I decided to retire from work when I became about 18, worked from 16 to 18,
huh.
And then I took the easy road.
Different kind of work.
Mm-hmm. But I enjoyed my life.
Did you ever think at that time that you shouldn't have been doing what you were doing? Or did you always know that you were doing the right thing for you?
At that